Let's open with hymn number 81. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Everlasting God, mercifully direct our ways, that we may walk in thy law and be made to abound in good works, through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
lesson for this Sunday after Christmas is found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 16th verse. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless you are our Father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of Galatians, the 1st through the 7th verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Here ends the epistle lesson. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Hallelujah. The Gospel is found in the 2nd chapter of Luke, the 33rd through the 40th verse. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 88.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Luke, the 33rd through the 40th verse. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instance, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, it is too bad that more people do not study history. The old axiom, those who do not study the past are doomed to repeat it, is not really true, because even those who do study history are doomed to repeat it. When our people elect bad leaders, or our leaders make foolish or self-serving choices, the wise suffer the consequences along with the foolish. But those who study the past are not taken by surprise when powerful men do foolish things, or when corrupt men are revealed for what they are. There are certain times in history when God seems to have so arranged events so that men are forced either to do what is righteous, or to reveal the true nature of their hearts. Often, this has taken place in times of war or other conflict. During the Civil War, our nation was sorely tested. The chief question then was in regard to liberty. Did the individuals, the states, and the federal government truly believe in liberty for all, whether for every race or for every state, as their founding documents claimed, or were their words just bluster? In that war, both sides failed miserably, denying the liberty they claimed to defend. Whatever one's opinion of the individual issues may be, this much is certain. The trial which the nation endured caused the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed. Elijah the prophet was the focal point of another such time when he challenged the prophets of Baal with the words, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." On that day when the prophets of Baal failed to get the attention of the God which they imagined in their hearts, the Lord showed his power in the sight of all the people by sending down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice which Elijah had made, along with the entire altar. The prophets of Baal failed, for under the test, their false religion could not hold up to the scrutiny which God's light shone upon it with his presence, power, and the preaching of his prophets. When the Christian church has been persecuted at various times in the past and in the present, once more the thoughts of many hearts have been revealed. Those who cling to Christ as they would cling to a shiny new car quickly abandon the faith, whereas many others who may not have shown much fruit suddenly cling to Christ fervently and love him more than their own lives. And meanwhile, those who do not endure persecution themselves show their thoughts from afar off as they either ignore or deny the trials of their brethren, or pray for and support them as they are given opportunity. Taking all of history together, And there is one point in time, beyond all others, when God had given man a test, at which they are either to be revealed to be his own, or they are unmasked as the children of Satan. That point in time came when the Son of God took on human flesh and entered the world as Jesus Christ, the Lord's anointed. Here in the person of Jesus was a challenge above all others. He was the rock upon which the waves of human opinion and bluster must break. In the temple, Simeon held the child Jesus in his arms and praised God, the God of heaven, for this gift. The days were now fulfilled. The special promise which God had given Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ with his own eyes had been met, and Simeon, in great thanksgiving, sang the Nunc Dimittis, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." We are not told Simeon's age. It seems clear from his prayer that he was old, even as Anna was. Whatever his age, it was both a blessing and a trial that he was given the promise that before his death he would see Christ. It was a blessing because he was one of the few who knew how near the promise of the ages was to being fulfilled. But it was a trial because with the revelation of the nearness of Christ came the temptation to doubt the promise. As each day of Simeon's life came and went, that was another day during which God had not kept that promise. Simeon could not say, maybe not in my lifetime, but God will surely send Christ. No, for if it were not in his lifetime, then God's promise was false. And therefore the promise of Christ to Simeon was itself an opportunity to stand or fall, to believe that God was faithful or to deny him, and thus to have one's own heart revealed. Therefore, Simeon himself knew the truth of the words which he prophesied, "This child is destined for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." God had been faithful, and Simeon had faithfully waited. And now Christ had come into the temple, and who took notice? We hear nothing of the chief priests and scribes. We hear nothing of Herod, that would come later. We hear nothing of the Pharisees protesting the identification of this child as Christ. On this significant day, when Jesus first came into his Father's house, only the faithful took note. Simeon, who had a special revelation. Anna, who ministered to the Lord day and night. And that handful in Jerusalem who looked for redemption. How telling that is. For here was a nation set up by God, built upon the promise to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It was there that God established a throne upon which Christ would reign forever. A throne that was there waiting to be filled. The identity of the nation was entirely wrapped up in the promise of Christ. Yet on that day when he entered the temple, the scriptures have to make special note that Anna spoke of Christ to those in Jerusalem who waited for redemption. And by this we know that most no longer waited for redemption at all. By name, by blood, by their religious identity, by their active participation in the temple, the synagogue, and the law, they identified themselves as the people of God who waited for his salvation. But in truth, there were only a remnant who kept watch. All the rest had forgotten. But that would change. For when Jesus stepped forward and began to do the things which Christ must do, the whole world would sit up and take notice. Soon it would be clear who were the true children of Abraham and who were the impostors. Today it is cheek to defend the Jews who were most directly responsible for opposing and crucifying Christ, claiming that their opposition was purely born of ignorance, that if only they had known who Jesus truly was, they would not have opposed him. They were doing their best only to keep peace, and so we should not fault them. But this is all utter nonsense. For those who had come to oppose Christ in fullest measure were the ones who were best equipped to know him and to lead the nation to worship him. Jesus was set up for the falling and rising again of many, Simeon said, and for a sign which would be spoken against. For his entire ministry is a sign which identified who he was, what his divine nature was, and what work it was that he was to do. The works of Jesus were incontrovertible proof. And the greatest sign of all, the one that proved his divinity in person above all others, was his resurrection from the dead. No one at any time, past, present, or future, can look upon Christ and say, I didn't know, and that is why I opposed and persecuted him. No, when it comes to Jesus, those who hate him because they are evil and the devil is their father. And those who love him are poor sinners who have looked for his redemption and rejoiced to find it, and are now the adopted children of God. And there is no one in between. On one either stands or falls upon the rock that is Christ. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." By Christ, whether we stand or fall upon him, or are crushed by him, the thoughts of our hearts are revealed. By the grace of God, we have known Jesus as our Redeemer, and we look for the redemption also of our bodies. However, with our deeds, with the lust of our hearts, we still speak against the sign, which is Christ. Oh, it is even with our mouths also, we must admit. How often have your own lips endorsed or encouraged the sin of others, or defended your own sins? How many times have lies proceeded from your own lips? Not occasionally, but all the time. And so you see, you are not that far off from a Pharisee, really. The only question is, will you fall upon the rock which is Christ and be broken? Or will he fall upon you and crush you? Simeon said that the child Jesus was destined for the fall and rise again of many. But only those rise who first have fallen. What of those who stood proudly by as Jesus ministered to the poor, healed the sick, and raised the dead? They did not look for redemption in Israel. The words of honor now taken up by the mouths of Jesus' disciples were the ravings of a madwoman. Are you among them? Those who stand aloof and have not fallen will not escape their destiny with Christ, for they shall be crushed when he falls down upon them. And all their hidden sins will be revealed. And what they truly think of Christ will be revealed before all when it is too late. Therefore, fall upon Christ and be broken. And broken down in your sins, look for redemption. For none but the broken will find the redemption which is in Christ. Even gentle Mary, the humble mother of our Lord, found herself broken, a sword piercing through her own soul also, as Jesus, her Son, was revealed to the world as the one upon whom God would place all sin, even her sins. And therefore you are in good company, when you are broken upon Christ. Yes, look for redemption in Israel. No, not the Israel according to the flesh, for that did little good to the proud Israelites who oppressed Jesus. Look for redemption in the spiritual Israel, where Christ has always come and He still comes to reveal His mercy. In His church, where He speaks, where His body is, and where His blood can be found. He is the Redeemer of the fallen. You who are beaten down and dashed to pieces because you are guilty and afraid of death and know you have no hope in this world any longer. He is your Redeemer. For not only do men fall upon Him, but He raises them up. He raises you up day in and day out, for His mercies are always new. They are inexhaustible. They endure forever, as the Psalms declare. And therefore, even as it did for Simeon and Anna and all who looked for redemption in Israel, may the mercy of Christ, which forgives your sins, keep and preserve you steadfast until your end, that when Christ comes again, He might reveal your heart to all men as He receives you into His eternal kingdom as His own. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Father in heaven, who in the fullness of time didst send forth thy Son to be the light of the world and to gather for thee out of all the kindreds of the earth a redeemed people, we give thee thanksgiving and hallow thy name that thou hast so graciously provided for us and for our salvation. We thank Thee that through faith in Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we have received the adoption of sons, that we may call Thee in spirit and in truth, Abba, Father. We beseech Thee, dear Father, to show us Thy mercy. Deliver us from all evil and rescue us from the due reward of our sins. Grasp us with Thy fatherly hand and lead us from this fevered world to the green pastures and still waters of thy word. Bestow on us a true faith and a holy love, that the child whom thou didst send for the great testing of men may be set for our rising rather than our falling. Heavenly Father, we implore thee to let thy spirit, thy grace rest upon us, that we may grow strong in the spirit and be filled with wisdom, that we may do that which finds favor in thy sight. Let the brightness of thy glory shine upon all who need thine almighty aid. Illumine hearts filled with darkness and homes overshadowed with sorrow or suffering. Give the light of truth to all in authority in our own land and elsewhere. And fill all our schools with thy divine light, that all strife, superstition, and ignorance may be banished. Establish the reign of Christ over all the nations of the earth. Visit every land with thy mercies, that thy saving truth may be proclaimed to all the lost children of mankind. Bring them to the obedience of thy holy child, whom thou didst send for the redemption of the world, even thy Son Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Let his word and doctrine, his birth and ministry, his death and resurrection, be that light of divine truth which shall brighten every land. For our sick, our wounded, our hurt, our troubled, our fallen, and our absent fellow believers, we pray. Grant unto them whatsoever they may need, soundness of body, strength of faith, or security of hope. And grant them all in Christ assurance of salvation. Hear us, O Father, in these our petitions, and direct and govern our hearts, that we may be preserved in the one holy Christian faith unto everlasting life. Amen. We sing hymn number 93. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 45. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Lighting taper?
What?
Can anything be done?